Morning, everybody. It's great to see so many people here. It's a good turnout. I'm going to talk to you about this understanding performance, and that's not to do with contemporary dance or anything like that. That is the other kind of performance, is about how well you're doing what you think you're supposed to be doing and how well your business or your organisation or just yourself is doing. You know, I actually, much to the horror of my wife, I track my weight and I stand on the scales daily and see sort of how my weight is fluctuating. We'll get to that a little bit later because it's actually quite pertinent. But in your, you know, personal life, if you're a runner or a sports person, or if you just have something that you really want to succeed in your life, then it's also got lessons in it. So let's hop through it. I think the thing that, there's probably two or three key messages that will come out and come along, and this one I particularly put up front because it's the one that drives me crazy when I go into large organisations, is that people think if they're busy and they're doing something, then that means that somehow they're achieving something. And I think we all know that that's not the case. But believe me, we all fall into that trap of thinking that because there's a lot going on and because, you know, we've got 120,000 staff, or all five of our staff are absolutely flogging themselves and having to work really hard, that that must mean that we're actually achieving something. And I just absolutely want to ram home this message that this is why you have to have strategy, and this is why you have to think about it. Because if you don't think about it and you don't set yourself a strategy, your activity will not necessarily equal. So, oh, sorry, I'm a mathematician. Look, so this doesn't equal. So for anybody that doesn't do, you know, any math, so activity does not equal achievement. Activity does not necessarily lead to achievement. And I think probably the whole of what I'm trying to say is that if you think about it, you can actually make it so that your activity is leading in most cases towards your achievement. So maybe we should try this. What is it that you're trying to achieve, and what is it you're doing? How are you doing it? And if the criteria that you've set up for how you define your success are then met, then you can call that success. And I actually quite like this, because what is success? It means something different to all of us. It means something different to every organisation. So I think that as well as the what and the how, which seem quite obvious, then there's an if. You want to be, you know, quite clear about what you are going to measure yourself. And I use measure in a very broad term, and I'll probably come back to using it a little bit more specifically later. But the thing that you're setting yourself up against for seeing whether success has been achieved. And I think if you follow something that looks a little bit like this, then you'll probably get a lot closer. There's just a few sort of very high level principles, and there's a second very important message in here. I think simplicity, fine. I'm slightly worried that what I'm going to say this morning may not always come across as simple, but I hope that's because the first time you hear anything that's got new elements in it, you know, it always feels a little bit more complicated than it is. But when you sit down with people and you've got the seven steps and you go through it, my main aim is that this is simple enough that it's actually going to be something that sits in people's mind on a day-to-day basis, or at the very minimum a week-to-week basis. I don't want it to be something that only ever gets tackled when the board sits down and decides that it's a special board meeting for looking at this. I really want it to be simple enough when it's implemented by people to actually be there, happening in their minds. For me, this is the key one. Transparency, which brings in honesty. And I think the second message, apart from activity not leading to achievement, for me is please at least be honest with yourself. Do not pretend that what you're trying to achieve is something other than what your organisation really is trying to achieve, or what you as a person or as a group of leaders or even your staff team, if you've done it as a group, at least be honest. Be honest with yourself about what it is and put it down on paper. If you dare put it down on paper, ask me to come and sit down and tell it me across the table and bear it in mind. But the worst thing you can possibly do is to pretend that all the things that you're trying to achieve are one thing, whereas in fact the thing that you'd really like to do is another. It's absolutely crucial. And when you're in a large or even a small organisation and there are other people that may not be involved in the heart of setting your aims and the way that you think about them, be honest with them too. That brings us on a little bit later. I'll talk about that in a minute, but about the way that you talk to people about this is really important. And that's cultural sensitivity. People operate and do different jobs within organisations. And even if you're a, you know, sort of single operator, you have different roles. And when you're thinking about what you do and thinking about how it relates to your ultimate aims, it's got to make sense to you. The trick is that when you sit at your desk, there should be a golden thread running through from what you decide when you sit down. There should be a golden thread running to the ultimate aim of what it is that you're going to have achieved at the end of that year or 5 years. If that golden thread doesn't exist, you've fallen back into the trap of your activity isn't going to be related to your achievement. So So always understand that that golden thread from the real thing that you're going to choose to do when you sit at your desk, or when your many staff sit at their desks or answer those phones, that there is that golden thread related through to what you're really supposed to be achieving. And that involves cultural sensitivity to the role that people are playing, or the role that you yourself are playing in different circumstances. To the scale of this thing, is it board level? Is it frontline and it's massive? And you know, the style that you need to adopt such that this is going to make sense to people and be meaningful. Because at the end of the day, this is going to have to work with people. It's no good it being a theoretical management science or mathematical construct somewhere. You're going to have to embed this and make it work on a day-to-day basis. And it's not easy. You know, I said it's got to be simple. Well, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Hopefully we can make it simple by breaking these things down and understanding what they are. But at many points, you're going to have to think about any and all of these things. People tend to focus, when I go and work with people, they're absolutely obsessed by the financial, particularly when I work with government and charities. You know, some businesses are a bit cooler about it, but a lot of people are very sensitive about financial. The people thing, I would argue, is absolutely crucial, even if it's just you. You don't want to be driving yourself into the ground and doing things that you don't want to be doing. The activities, the analytical side of it, which I'll talk a little bit more about, it's a huge angle to it, but there's so many ways in doing it that you don't have to get trapped into something that you're not competent at doing. There's a way of doing the analytical thinking around understanding how well you're doing. And political means all kinds of things. A lot of organisations are handling political issues a lot more than they think, but even office politics, that really is a political issue and a very live and real thing for many people. So, you know, just there's a few things to go in there, but let's crack on, because there are the seven steps. And the one thing I want to point out is I'm going to present these in a very linear fashion, because they are, there's a sort of hierarchy to at what point you should think about these things. But once you've got your head around them all, it's actually the entirety of those seven steps that hang together. And you'll see that the relationships between them really aren't entirely sort of just a linear of one leading onto the other. They refer back to each other. So understand that when you've thought about all seven steps, you're going to be much better placed than sort of thinking about them all in isolation. But I've got to present them somehow, so you know they're going to go in order 1 to 7. So I can't really do much about that. So step one, I think, is probably the most important thing, and it may take a while and you might not get it right first time. And I say later on that there is a feedback loop, so you're always going to be improving on how you do this. So just because I think it's the most important you do it first, doesn't mean by any means that you've got to get that right before you move on to anything else. So don't worry about that. Just a little bit about vocabulary here. Lots of people talk about mission statements or vision or whatever it is. I've tried a little bit to sidestep all those fine distinctions of what people call things. So I think you've got higher aims or strategic aims. They're really important. Then you've got your aim when you sit down at your desk. You've got aims at different levels, at different timescales. I don't really care what anybody calls them, so I just call them all aims. But at this stage, I'm very much talking about that higher level strategic aim of your big picture. You've got to be creative, but at the same time, I think this is a challenge, you've really got to be quite precise. Now, sometimes creativity throws precision out of the door, and I'm absolutely certain that precision has a danger of throwing creativity out of the door. But if you can possibly try and think on both those levels at the same time, I think you'll come really close to doing something good. The other thing about the seven steps is it's not the actuality of arriving at a place. The process of thinking about what you do in a structured way that forces you into reconsidering things that you've thought about, or looking at what you do in a structured way, is just really important anyway. You could go through these seven steps, and at the end of it, you could like come up with something and go, well, you know, I'm not really happy about what I've done, but I'm really happy I went through that process of thinking about it, because it's actually revealed a lot to me about what I do and how I think about what I do and so on. And the same goes for the aims. You might say, I'm gonna start completely afresh. You might end up with something very close to the thing that you originally had. It's not a problem. No, don't get hung up on what's there. But if you don't do this bit reasonably well, or make a good shot at it and keep refining it, then not a lot else will make sense. Step one, define your aims. Step two, outcome measures. So in some way, you've got to know at a future point in time whether you're closer or more, a better aligned or achieving more in some way of the thing that you set up as your aim. that's what outcome measures are. These are about the things that finally actually result, and whether you're able to convincing yourself, again, it's about honesty. These measures don't need to be any particular kind of measure, but you and the people that are working with you, you've got to be convinced that when you use that way of measuring, and again, don't think it's numbers or anything like that necessarily, it's just got to be convincing that when you do that comparison over time, or even sometimes between groups of people, that everybody's bought into the idea that when you assert it's better this year than it was, or you assert we can't carry on doing that because it's not working as well as it was, that people are going to accept that that's a pretty good measure of where you're going with the thing you set up as your aim. If you can't measure that you're getting closer to it or that you're doing it better, you haven't got much to go on when you're trying to improve and take things forward. And again, you're probably going to have to get technical on this, because whatever it is that you do, you know a lot about it, and you're probably going to know a good way of comparing and measuring that. So at the moment I'm working, as I mentioned to somebody earlier, I'm working with a project in Nepal. There was a massive earthquake there a few years ago, and there's a lot of money pouring into Nepal to try and make communities more resilient when earthquakes come. And that's not just buildings being made so they don't collapse, there is a fair bit of that, but there's also improving local government, making sure that when a disaster happens that they can actually transfer some money to people, that there's some infrastructure that will be left that allows, and people that will be there to manage things and make sure that money gets through and that services get back and running, making those communities resilient. Problem is, we don't particularly want to wait until there's another earthquake to test whether the things that have been trying to do are going to work or not. So actually measuring whether these things that are making communities more resilient will work under an earthquake is quite a difficult thing to measure. And just the word, people go, oh yeah, we want to make communities more resilient. At which point I stand there and go, well, you know, what does that mean? Anybody could claim they were or weren't doing that, depending on how they decide. So trying to come to a consensus about how you can do that and then how you can measure it, even without having an earthquake to see if it's achieved. So there's all kinds of situations where this can be really hard, but, you know, you're the experts. And you must never forget that point. You know your business better than anybody else, so you probably know how this should work. Now we're to the, you know, back again to the first chart, link activity to aims. All you want to do is make sure that when you sit down at the desk, or when you ask some other people to do something, or you explain to them a good way that they might be doing that, or how they're going to focus that activity, what you want to do is you want to make sure that that activity is moving the aims in the right direction, according to the measures that you think are the good measures. That's it. What else do you need to do in the morning? And if you can do that, then hopefully you, every day that you do something, you're achieving your aims. So what is it that you can do? What are the activities that are already going on? Are there some things that are missing? Is there anything that can be chopped out? Are all these things moving that? For me, a good measure does one thing. The measure moves in a particular direction. Let's call it up, when you're achieving your aims better. If nothing else changed, and you changed one thing, and that measure moves up, that means it's a good measure if it's actually taking your aims in the right direction. So what you're doing is linking your activity to aims, and the measurement of that is that you've got to measure your activities. Because measuring your aims is something that happens probably less regularly. I mean, you might have a constant stream of data, or a constant way of assessing whether you're actually achieving your aim, but that tends to be a slightly longer term thing. But your activities are quite often more distinct and discrete things that you can say, am I doing my job well today at my desk? How many marketing emails did I manage to send out this week and get responses to from the right people? That's a bloody good measure. If you've got some distinct leads that have come out of the emails that you sent, and you know that they're on stage two of your model of you know, sort of crystallizing your leads and turning to a sale, and a good sale at that, and you want to measure a little bit of whether these are good sales or not, because the email that leads to a good sale is much better than the one that leads to a small non-repeating sale. But you can sit at your desk and you can start to measure this kind of thing. But that's not measuring the big picture of what you're trying to achieve. You're not trying to achieve as many sales lead emails as you can. That's not your achievement. But that is measuring your activity. And eventually what you want to do is to make sure that all that is hanging together in a consistent way, which is where the plan comes in. And a plan is what links your activity and the amount of it you do and the mix of the activity that you do to achieving the aims, via the fact that you should be doing that activity well and at the right level of activity. So if you're really good at getting that first sales lead email, but you're not very good at converting them, I don't want you to go away and do the thing that you're good at all day. I don't want you to just keep coming up with millions and millions of good first sales lead emails that have got a response and never closing a sale. And that is why targets are not necessarily a very good way of doing this. A good way of doing it is a plan of saying that we need this many emails that get warm leads as a minimum that have got some follow-up. But out of those, we've then got to close X percent. And that's got to lead to Y percent, a Y amount of revenue. Now, that's just a, you know, sort of business and sales view. Government's doing the same thing. Charities are doing the same thing. The activity, a mix of activities with a mix of different things, and even if it's just one person, this is still true. It's got to be a plan that mixes all that together in the right proportions. But I've come to the conclusion after a long time of working with a lot of organisations that having targets is a destructive thing, because people will try and meet them, then when they've met them, they don't really know what to do. Should they do twice as much? If you bust your target by 100% and you're asked to do 40 of these things and you do 80, you walk into the, you know, go, hey, I've done 80, you only asked me to do 40, at which point I go, we only needed 40. You could have been spending all that time doing something useful. So you've got to have a plan. Targets aren't what it's all about. We used to call them planning assumptions. And if you suddenly realise that you're not managing to reach the level of what we assumed would happen so that our plan would come to crystallisation, you're falling short of that. You come in and you say, there's something going on. We're not there with the assumption that we had that meant the plan would be delivered. It looks like we're not going to deliver the plan because we've fallen short. You don't have to say, I haven't meeting my target. I haven't met my target. You can say, I haven't got to that level that's needed for the plan. And it's a much more valuable conversation to have with your boss or the person, or even with yourself. It's a much more useful thing to say. Say, well, maybe we set that wrong. Maybe that was impossible. Or maybe we're asking you to do the wrong thing. Or maybe you're just rubbish. Let's hold that out as a possibility as well. I'm not saying we shouldn't assume that sometimes people don't achieve what they're supposed to achieve because they're not very good at it. But it's a much more valuable conversation to have. And also, when you exceed it, when you suddenly realise that things are going really well, you can decide, do we want to do more of that? Or do we want to divert that resource that we've freed up into doing something that's actually going to take us forward more quickly than just exceeding that? And then you can revise your plan. But I don't really like the word of targets. And I realise that in some cases, they're good because they're motivational. In some cases, they're good because they hold people to account. But I don't think that they are at the highest level or even at the lowest level of operation. I don't think they're necessarily the immediate and right answer. But you can build them in to a plan with planning assumptions, but don't think that that's the thing. People need to know what they're doing, and they need to have a reason to believe in it. So you want to have that golden thread again. People do like to know that what they're doing on a daily basis at their desk is achieving what the whole organisation is there to achieve. And that if they do that slightly better, we're back to the good measure, if they do that a bit better and nothing else changes, the organisation will still be achieving better what it wants to do, even if that will move the measure. That will move the needle a little bit because it's a good measure and they know what they're up to and they know how it fits in with what the plan is all about. Avoid the noise. This is where we go back to my weight, weighing myself every day. I'm not really that bothered, to be honest with you, but I find it fascinating the variation in my weight on a daily basis within a week or a month or a quarter. So my weight varied by 1.3 kilograms in the last 4 days. It actually happened to go up by 1.3 kilograms in the last 4 days. But in the 4 days preceding that, it actually fell by almost a kilogram. This is the variation, but I can see that that's all noise. That depends on what time I weigh myself during the day. I try and keep it at the same time. It depends on how much I've drunk and whether I've retained that amount of liquid in my body. It depends. For women, it's a nightmare. It's even worse, right? So, you know, your weight varies for all kinds of reasons. They've got nothing to do with your calorific intake or your calorific burn. What you've got to do is you've got to ignore that noise. Now, I saw this in government particularly. People have these massively complex things where they can monitor what people are doing. And then when one of the measures falls down by maybe 8 to 10% in a given month in the board pack, suddenly everybody says, oh, we've got to have an investigation. We've got to find out what's going on in that area. We've got to send people in. We've got to fix it. We've got to find out what's going on. Nothing's going on. There's natural variation in all numbers. You know, anything could be going on. McDonald's might have closed a large outlet, and there's suddenly a lot of people ended up at the job centre that used to have failures in jobs. Sainsbury's may have opened a new large branch. You know, so in fact, loads of people have come off the register and have managed to get jobs. it's not because you've done a good job. There's noise in every system. And what you've got to do is you've got to find ways of not distracting yourself, but still being sure what you do well. I mean, again, I'm sorry, I'm using examples with numbers in. It doesn't have to have numbers. When you're having discussions, quite often people have got this tendency to focus in on detail and ignore the big picture, and that's noise. What you've got to do is you've got to get over that, and you've got to say, if I'm still seeing the same problem in a month's time or in 6 weeks' time, then I'm really going to do something about it, because then I'll understand that it's a problem. But until then, I'm going to get on with the business that my business is there to do and not worry about it. But you know your business is best. There may be certain things that 1 week of that thing going wrong, you've got to get in there and fix it. But you need to know which those things are and which are the things that are just a little bit of noise that you're going to let go and not worry about everything the minute that you see something change or something different or something's a worry or even something's good. You know, you're slapping people on the shoulder 1 week and saying, oh, fantastic work. And then 2 weeks later, you know, like with my weight, you go in, I can't believe it. You know, you're 30% below where you were. You know, just understand that function of noise and variation. And that's can be a bit technical. If you want it to be, you know, you can pay me a lot of money to do that technically for you. I'd be very happy to, you know, sort out your statistics and get rid of the variation so you can see the real picture behind it. Or just do it in your head. Just be aware that you are not going to be distracted and fooled by that noise. And step seven, probably the third big message, is feedback. It's about continuous improvement. It's about going through this process, learning what you've learned, and then making that process better, refining your aim, understanding that this measure, you thought it was going to be incredibly useful, but you're now doubting that. Is that because the measure's not very good technically, or is it because actually it's not that important to your business at all? Go back and revisit these things and be learning all the time and improving this stuff. Every time you get to reflect on it, make sure that you're learning a little bit about the system, about your business, and about how you reflect on things. And that's, this gets very wrapped up inside itself. As you reflect more, you should be reflecting on your ability and the way that you reflect on these things, and that will definitely help a lot. It can be more simple. So I think we talked a little bit about vision, I think we talked about the activity, and then we talked about understanding. And all those three things have to come in, and then the feedback will take you back to the start. So that's a sort of simpler way of thinking about it. But for me, I'm really here in this loop of helping people to do the understanding part of it. Because even if you've got a vision and you're doing lots of activity, unless you can work out how that hangs together. And for me, people often say, what is strategy? And it's just this, it's taking a step back, thinking about how you think about things. And for me, that's what strategic thinking is. And people often say they haven't got time to do strategic thinking. So they all fit together. And as I said at the start, each step works with the others. I think the closer you look, then the more you get out of it. What have I got next? This is the bit where I sell myself. If you're running your company well, or your organisation well, I would suggest that you get a consultant in that comes in and expects you to do the vast majority of the work. They are producing expertise, motivation, coaching and facilitation for you that get to the point where you want to be. And that's the way that I tend to do it. I like working with other people. And I think working with other people that are really passionate about how they can improve their businesses or their organisations, or just individuals that are passionate about what they want to do, whether they're starting up or whether they've already been doing it for ages and they think, is this going in the right direction? Then I think that's what consultancy should and is about, and it is certainly if I'm going to do it.